keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay, friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
It's What's the 411. Here again, Sharon Kay.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Good. You're busy today on this phone talking to everybody around the country.
It's a busy week. Yes, it's a very busy week.
And I want to
thank you for helping to get the word out. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Gene Cadu is chair of the FCC Initiative Auction Task Force, and there are some changes coming up, and we always like to be fresh with changes for our audience. And I know this is radio and not TV, but many of us are TV watchers, so we have concerns. Gene, get us up to speed on what's going on.
Well, Sharon, important changes are happening to free over-the-air TV. That's TV that viewers watch with an antenna, either on their rooftop or indoor. These changes don't affect viewers who subscribe to cable or satellite services. But if you watch TV via an antenna, then you'll need to be watching for announcements that frequencies are changing. And what that means is simply that the TV needs to be rescanned to find the local channels in the airwaves on their new location.
Is rescanning a difficult process?
It's not really. Anyone who has a TV that uses an antenna had to scan the TV when they set it up for the first time, because TVs aren't shipped from the manufacturer with local Nashville channels pre-programmed into them. So when you set up a TV, you had to scan it. And essentially what's happening here is just what it sounds like. You have to rescan it so that this TV can relearn where the frequencies are. So the local channels that viewers see are not going to be changing, so they'll tune to the same channel numbers to see the same programming. But behind the scenes, the TV needs to be retrained to find those channels at their new location.
Does it make a difference in this process if you have a newer TV versus an old one? Because everybody doesn't have a brand new TV.
Well, any digital TV, those are the flat screen TVs, basically you rescan using your remote. If you have an older, what's called an analog TV, which are the bigger boxes that we all used to have, and it's using a converter box to receive channels via an antenna, then that converter box needs to be rescanned. But it's essentially the same process using the remote.
Now, we have been seeing this message on one of our local stations about the rescan, and it's just a little touch confusing because it's not to be mixed up with the contract dispute between the cable providers and the network. This is an entirely different thing going on here, right?
That's exactly right, Sharon. It's a totally different thing. Those are different contract matters. They get resolved when they get resolved. Here, what we're doing is a nationwide effort to try to make our TV airwaves more efficient, to free up spectrum for important wireless services that consumers really want. They want ever-increasing capacity and speed on their mobile devices. Mm-hmm. So that's what this is all about.
How often will consumers be asked to do this?
Well, it's happening in phases across the country. In Nashville, I think there are some stations that have just recently changed in the last week or so. Another one will be moving in the next phase, which is coming up in the next month or two. And then there's a final one in Nashville that will be changing not until early next summer in June or July.
And there's information on what this is all about, the details and everything. I'm sure that the FCC has it on their website in a convenient location.
Yes, we do. We have a website that has information about why this is happening and an interactive map that will show you which channels are changing mm-hmm. and where and when. So a user can put in their street address or zip code and find that out. The website address is www.fcc.gov/TV rescan. And we also have a help desk that's available if viewers need a little extra help in how to rescan. And that call center is open 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern time. So if a viewer notices that a channel that they're used to seeing seems to have gone missing and doesn't quite know how to rescan, the call center is available. And the number there is 1-888-CALL-FCC, which is 1-888-225-5322.
Okay, and Gene, lastly, if you can just, in case somebody just tuned in, if you can give the dates and exactly what's going to happen in the nutshell, so they won't be, well, what'd you do now to my TV? I'm going to be upset. You know how we get.
Well, as I said, a number of stations in Nashville just recently in the last week or so have changed frequencies. So if a viewer turns on their TV and tunes to one of those channels using their antenna TV and finds that they see a blue screen or one of those snowy screens, chances are that's what's happened, and they should rescan their TV. And then they should be on the lookout over the next 6 to 8 months for additional notices for other stations and be prepared to rescan when those stations tell viewers that that's going to be happening.
Will you all be out letting us know in advance like you did with this one?
Sure. We will send out advisories, and if you want to do this again, I'm happy to do it.
Okay,
I think
excellent.
It's very important that viewers get their local news, local weather alerts, and other emergency alerts from their local broadcasters.
Absolutely. And, Jean, just for the record so I know, and many of the listeners may not be aware, what is the Initiative Auction Task Force at the FCC?
It's a mouthful.
Okay.
At the FCC, it's called the Incentive Auction Task Force. Actually, we may have put a typo down.
Oh, okay.
But it's something that we organized to get this process of reorganizing the TV spectrum accomplished. Mm-hmm. And what we did was we reorganized it, we reclaimed a little bit of it, and we turned around and auctioned it to wireless carriers. And we raised over $19 billion, mm-hmm. over $7 billion of which will go to federal deficit reduction. So it was a very good process.
Excellent. And how long have you been there?
I've only been at the FCC for 5 years.
Okay.
I was in private law practice for a very long time, and I joined the FCC to do a little public interest work.
Excellent. Well, good luck on this.
Thank you very much, and I really do appreciate, Sharon, you're helping to get the word out to your listeners.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Have a good day.
Thank you. You too.
All right. That was good information. That Jean Kiddo, she's chair of the FCC Incentive Auction Task Force, and making the national rounds on alerting the public from her Washington, D.C. office. And actually, let me ask you before I go in to introduce my guest.
Mm-hmm.
Did you rescan yet your TVs and stuff? Or do you? You're not on antenna, you're on cable, right?
I have cable right now, but from time to time, you know, it's good to have, you know, for kids to allow them to have the regular antenna, you know, that helps keep the cost down. But
amen.
I have used the antenna, which the new HD is not bad.
Really?
It really isn't.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Now, have you rescanned or do you need to, Councilman O'Connor?
Well, it's funny. I remember my TV was so old that it predated the whole digital transition.
Did it
right?
go click?
Yeah,
click,
we had to get the special adapter that even lets you still watch the old broadcast channels. And we are now a TV-free household, so it's a little bit
are
of a different
you?
World. Yeah. I mean, because I never got around to replacing that TV. It just keeps changing so quickly. I mean,
so are you just strictly online? Is that?
Pretty much.
You're going to go blind reading that little tiny screen, you know.
I just went in for an eye exam, and
okay.
they said I'm doing okay so
good.
Far. So.
Well, the older you get, the more that's going to change.
They told me that, too.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. You're going to need, like, a 52 pretty soon. Like, I mean, there's just something about that. And I don't know. I don't know if I could do without. I don't know.
It's never been, I mean, since I was a kid, I mean, we, you know, my brother and I grew up certainly watching Saturday morning cartoons, all that whole stuff, some of the, you know, TGIF, you know, all that stuff through the 80s and 90s. But after college, somehow, I just kind of never got back in the habit of watching a bunch of shows.
So when your kids grow up, they're going to be like, what's that thing?
Well, the funny thing is, we still got, like, we've got a subscription to PBS Kids.
Oh, do
you?
Know, you?
So you can see that stuff.
Good.
It's all good.
How many of those shows have you watched?
Some of them are better than the stuff I was watching when I was a kid. They've got some amazing stuff.
They
out
do,
there,
and
right?
I babysat grandkids, and they, you know, had to. They didn't want to see the news. Like, well, why not, Granny? This is not what we want to watch. So I had to get familiar with all those channels, but anyway. We're happy to have in the studio. It's been more than a minute since District 19 Councilman Freddie O'Connell has been in the station with me to discuss the district and the issues of the day. And since that time, let's see, I haven't, it's been almost a year, right?
I think so, since the last time we came on to talk about stuff. I mean, obviously, I've come over every year for your Christmas show. I come over as the Food and Music Festival. Yeah. Right, we come do the fun stuff.
Yeah, the fun
stuff.
And
then every now and then we get down to business.
Oh, definitely. And you just got through going through another re-election.
Yep.
And it was victorious because you're here.
glad to be here, still representing the 19th district.
Was it tougher than you thought to get reelected?
So there were some challenges out there. It was interesting. I feel very there is an honor and a privilege that will never go away in being able, one, to do this in my hometown, mm-hmm. two, to have the confidence of the voters of District 19 in my work, because we wound up not having anybody on the ballot against us. We knew there were a couple people that looked very seriously at challenging me, but they were not, they were coming from, I think, at least what we knew about the challenges, that they were coming from a strange space in sort of lower Broadway, right? That they were not, these were not community-based challenges. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, that says some of the work we're doing in the community is out there, and it's resonating. People are understanding it. People are appreciating it. And they're giving me a lot of feedback, which is also really good. I will say we had, since I was elected, we have, and I think you knew this, we had added to our family. So we've got a 2-year-old at home.
Yes.
The dynamics, because I still went out, even without anybody on the ballot, I still went out and checked in. I think I set foot and visited voters in just about every neighborhood in District 19 over the course of the summer. And it was just, it was harder. It was harder with a 2-year-old than a 3.5-year-old 4 years previously. Yeah. To be away for even a couple hours on a Saturday.
Oh,
right?
Definitely.
And just the nights and weekends rhythm that I could do in 2015. And I had just started a new job in May.
Right.
So we had a couple of different pressures. But the other side of it was we had an amazing campaign team. We had some interns from right here at Fisk. We were in the very fortunate position to be able to create paid internships. Uh-huh. So we had some folks from the political science program right here at Fisk University who did great work, a couple of whom were with us from the get-go, and one of whom has invited me back over to join the politics club right here on campus, which I'll be doing in November. And then we had a young man from Lipscomb University as well. Uh-huh. So we had some great interns. We had some great staff. And then over the course of the campaign, we also just had some phenomenal volunteer support. So some challenges in how my time worked out, but overall great response from the community.
So you were the man pushing the stroller, huh?
I generally try to keep the girls, like they get to live their life as kids, and they know I go out sometimes and I do stuff like
well,
that.
Well, I mean, you know, because a woman would have to do that. You know?
Yeah, and every now and then, I mean, I have had to bring one or both daughters to community meetings, but by and large, we try to balance our household schedule for that.
And to the radio station, because the girls have been up here.
They have. At least our older daughter has been up here.
She came a couple times.
Yeah, yeah.
And I got photos.
Well, and I brought the whole family over to the Food and Music.
You did. A couple times. And that's to be expected, because when I, in my radio career, my oldest daughter is 48, and I know I just barely look 48 myself.
I don't know how you do it. I'm going to have to ask you for your tips.
I don't know either. You on my ID? And I've been in the business 41. So, you know, they were next and by me a lot. And
well, and you know, I told you and X both that I had to arrive a little bit late, and I'll have to leave just a little bit early because my older daughter's over at swimming
lessons.
You got to
do daddy duty.
You got to do daddy duty.
That's right, and it goes with the territory. So parents have to do parent duty. They get it.
It's the job that never stops.
A lot of them are out there now picking up kids.
That's right.
So they get it. They really do. And they also know that that's part of parenting. And just do the very best that you can.
That's right.
And, you know, the rest will... eventually, they'll grow up.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, you get your life back. Anyway, we're going to take a time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
Good afternoon. Heavy traffic here on the South Loop, the West Loop. They moved this wreck to the side here on 40 eastbound, right near Church Street. Moving that earlier wreck also the 3900 block of Dickerson Pike. Heavy traffic now continues out through Hermitage Donaldson on 40 east, continuing out in the Mount Julia through Wilson County, where it slows down 40 east around 840 out there towards Lebanon. This traffic report is brought to you by Prince's Hot Chicken, 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Support for WFSK comes from Nashville General Hospital at Meharry, reminding you that October is National Breast Cancer Awareness Month. It has been proven that African American and Hispanic women have a higher breast cancer death rate than women of other racial or ethnic populations because they are statistically less likely to participate in mammography screenings and more likely to be diagnosed with late-stage breast cancer. If you are over 40 and haven't had a screening mammogram, call the Breast Health Center at Nashville General Hospital today, 615-341-4543.
This is the last weekend of October, and this weekend on Blue Slam in the City,
I've been blessed to be able that if I wanted to do R&B, I was able to pull it off.
There's Willie Clayton. He's talking style this weekend. Plus, what do you do about dating a woman that loves her dog? That's the blues email we got this weekend, and we'll talk about it. Join me, Gene Bailey, for Blues Time in the City this weekend right here. Catch Blues Time in the City Sundays from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on Jazzy 88.
Support for WFSK comes from the Center for Research on Men's Health at Vanderbilt University. The Center for Research on Men's Health at Vanderbilt University is now recruiting men for a weight loss program called TaylorMade Solutions for Your Health. TaylorMade is for overweight African American men 35 to 64 years old in the Nashville area. For more information, please email the TaylorMade team at taylormade@vanderbilt.edu or #250 and use the keyword TaylorMade. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
Alrighty, Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. And What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Also brought to you by Nashville General Hospital at Meharry. We thank you so very much for supporting What's the 411. And I want to remind the audience that we have a little over a week left in our fall fun drive in October. This October, you know, we do it every October to keep the station going. We have to pay our own bills. And without us doing this, there would be no more WFSK. So when we tell you all that it's fun drive time, and you know you enjoy very much listening to the station and hearing the music and hearing the shows and winning stuff and getting the tickets and toting the barge and lifting, you know you love it. But we need you all to kick into gear and give us a little love, a little support, tax-deductible donations. Let me say thank you and good afternoon to some people who have seen it seemed fit to make sure we had a donation in here to support the station. Doctors Hilda and Charles Williams from Memphis and Mr. Gerald Houston of Houston Building Company Josie Scott Larry and of the Divine Miracle Adult Daycare, as well as our friend Miss Erica Lathan and Jason Gorals, my friend, in Las Vegas, Nevada. Now let's go to the phone line. Metro Councilman, District 19, Freddie O'Connell is in the studio. We're happy to have him here to discuss the district issues. And District 19 is where and where, Councilman?
We are basically Nashville's urban core, connecting Jefferson Street to Lower Broadway to Music Row.
Okay, so that's where we are right now. Let's go to the phone. If you have a question or comment, it is Ask the Councilman time, by the way. You can call in your questions or comments at 615-329-8810. I believe this is Jay. Jay, how are you today?
Hey, Ms. Sharon, how you doing?
I am most excellent. Thank you for listening and, of course, dialing the digits. You have a question for the councilman?
Well, I have two things I need to ask you.
Okay, go ahead.
One, I was riding through Germantown this afternoon, and I noticed a new sign put up there talking about enhanced policing by the Metro Police Department. What is that? What does that entail?
Well, you're going to make me have to go do some research. I have not seen that sign. Do you remember where in Germantown that was?
Fifth Avenue in Germantown.
Fifth Avenue.
Where they had little rental bikes.
Oh, yeah, right by that kiosk at B-Cycle. Okay, I'll go take a look at that. This is news to me. So sometimes my best eyes and ears are out there in the community.
Yeah, I caught me by surprise this evening. I was going to the water company and pay my bills, and you to go through that, and I think there's some new sign pop up.
Great question. I will go take a look. I know sometimes what they do when they have had a spike in crime, and I don't know if you have paid attention to recent police reports, and this is something that we have had in District 19 just over the past really few months. I have started to hear more about public safety issues. Every now and then they'll put out this thing that they've got called Sky Cop. That's the it's got the blue flashing lights on it, and I think maybe a camera on there. And I've seen it used for slowing people down in speeding areas, but I've also seen it used to deter crimes, because we've had some robberies at gunpoint over there. We've had some carjackings over there. And so I know there has been some concern from the community. I have not been – last time I missed the last couple of Salemtown and Germantown meetings. They usually have the community coordinator from North Precinct come over there. But I'll make sure to follow up and get some information over to Sharon, and we can talk about that more after.
Well, and let me ask you, Jay, what is that – when you see that, what does that mean to you?
Well, I kind of a political science myself, those problems are prevalent to all over Nashville to a certain point.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But Germantown is considered an upscale neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if the police department taking issue that they get preference to police service.
Right, and so I'm going to have to go and explore that, because I had not seen that sign myself yet, and they have not given me any advisory that this was something they were doing. Now, I know citywide, a couple of years ago, they started up this juvenile crime task force. I know I occasionally get reports about their activities, but those are usually all over the district, not just in kind of that Germantown corridor. Mm-hmm. So, tell you what, I will follow up on that item and get some information back over to Sharon on what I hear, and she can share with the community.
I surely will.
So that's a great question. Thank you for that observation and sharing with me something that you saw in the community.
Yeah,
and you
definitely.
Said you had one other item?
Yes. This is in reference to the cameras that Ms. Sharon asked about the other guests a few minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been doing some thinking about that. And I just want to ask you a question. You've been in the council, two terms already?
No,
it's
just
your second
one.
Term?
I was elected in 2015, so I'm just starting up my second term.
Now, before Chief Anderson became the chief, was he the Metro Police Legal Counsel?
I know he is an attorney. I'm not sure of his role in the department before he was named chief.
Well, it's always been my experience that all attorneys think about liabilities.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you have a police, the officer has police cameras on. That might cause a problem.
And so,
definitely get that notification.
Sharon, were you all talking about body cameras last
week? Yeah, we
hour?
Were. And okay. The fact that every 2 weeks or something, when it's time for the unveiling, it just seems like something new, something fresh, and the price tag is going up higher. And Mel's comment as the director of MHRC,
mm-hmm.
Metro Human Relations Commission, was basically of the other cities in the United States that she studied.
Mm-hmm.
That ours is the highest of all.
Of the cost?
Yeah, of the cities with cost. And why is that? And, you know, I just think, you know, we can attribute some things to Nashville's growth, but must we attribute everything to Nashville's growth? I mean, or is that what it is? Or is this another derailment of unpopular with the FOP program?
I don't know yet. I think we are just starting to see what Mayor Cooper's priorities and engagement are going to be. I know, Jay, we've had some tough moments as the Community Oversight Board, for mm-hmm. instance, has gotten off the ground. And I would not describe all of the interactions between that new organization and their, either as a board or since they have a staff and an executive director themselves, of that organization with the police department. Mm-hmm. And I think it's been a strange year too, because, you know, we've had three mayors in 2 years.
Yes.
And it can be difficult to keep priorities consistent and reliable when you have that much volatility in Metro. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's more volatility in Metro than I've seen in my adult lifetime. Yeah. And I think some of it will, now that we have what I hope is 4 years of predictability, that we will be able to sort some of these things out. But I think Mayor Cooper is going to have to directly engage in both the body cameras and that community oversight process.
Well, and not after it's towards 11th hour and 11:59:50.
Right.
But he needs to engage early.
Right.
In order for the people who didn't vote for him or who are on the fence, we need to see him, you know, like he did on the Fort Negley, but he came in the night before and 5 minutes before then, and not on the front end. And that's that stuff that kind of gets to me when I see the mainstream community doing that and then use that as their issue that they're championing. You weren't there from the night when we started the fight, so now you know, the victory's here and here you come. I mean, that's just my opinion. Okay?
Well, and I joined you, this was a little over a year ago, I believe, when we had the tough moment where we had that second officer-involved shooting, right? And mm-hmm. this was one of those moments that was – and the reason I talk about both these issues is because they're very closely related.
Yes.
The idea of community oversight, I think, really caught on in the community at large
yes.
after that moment.
Oh,
I mean,
yes.
I think there was already obviously interest, but I think – you couldn't have imagined an election where that was on the ballot where that wouldn't have passed after that moment.
Oh.
I think because we had not had body cameras implemented by that time, that you had some new questions raised. I will tell
yes.
you, I know from speaking with colleagues on Metro Council, there are a number of us who are mm-hmm. going to put some pressure on both of these
Definitely.
Issues of ensuring that Definitely. That the community oversight process, mm-hmm. that they get the information that they are looking for mm-hmm. to try to deliver the transparency that they've been charged with delivering. And then we will also be taking a serious look, because the most recent issue has been this report from the district attorney's
right,
office.
Right? right.
And we just need to understand that from a budget and finance perspective.
Sure.
It's like, all right, when we first heard about this, it looked like the initial cost estimate was $15 million.
Yeah.
Then it went up to 80, and now it's all of a sudden it seems to be even higher than that.
Right.
All right. Can
Why
we get
is
some
that?
Straight answers
yeah.
here?
Because it just seems, you know, I know in Nashville everything is so high we can barely afford to live here anymore. We may have to commute in on a plane or something from somewhere because it's getting too high here.
Well, and I can tell you, you know, I served the last term with Councilmember Erica Gilmore,
yeah.
who was at large,
yeah.
and her and my colleague, Councilmember Mendez, who is now the chair of the Budget and Finance Committee.
Sure.
I mean, the two of them really did do some important citywide leadership on these issues, and I think Councilmember Mendez is someone who I have very high
yeah.
confidence in
yeah.
as chair of Budget and Finance.
Now, Jay, let me ask you this in the wrap-up here. Do you feel that there's too many excuses, or you think the time is right, what's your feeling as being a citizen, and you've been watching this thing from, you know, the U.S.?
I've been watching for a long time.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let me answer your question this way. When they had the board, when they put the board that Chief Turner is on, what is it called?
Community Oversight
Department?
Board.
Community, yes.
oversight,
community
board.
Oversight.
That was a big mess. It had to go to the voters.
Yep.
All right. Now, we're talking about body cameras. Now, being the chief used to be an attorney, basically what he was when he was chief, all attorneys think of one thing, liabilities.
Mm-hmm.
And you got those cameras and show some police phone doing, and end up in court, they can cost the city a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just me talking. I don't know how anybody else sees it, but that's why I see it.
Well, and that's why the community was so strongly supportive, I think, of body cameras, is because, like the community oversight process, when you have two officer-involved shootings in 2 years where both of the officers are young white men and both of the victims are shot and killed and they're young black men and it's questionable circumstances, and you don't get a lot of straight answers, I understand that. That is why we have these two new accountability tools, and now it's up to us to make sure they are correctly implemented.
Yeah, well, it's good on paper, but it needs to be implemented.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, we're going to keep the eyeballs on it. You know that all four of mine, the two glass ones and the two real ones.
Well,
okay?
and Sharon, yes, we are just now underway in the second term. I know some of these questions have already started to be asked after that DA's report.
Yeah.
I tell you what, I've got two items that I will send you very specific email about. And you can,
because the community has been asking over and over and over and over again, and we're watching this derailing, and people are kind of hoping that with this amnesia thing will slip in, they'll get something else will come up and they'll forget about it, but we're not going to forget about it. So thank you, Jay, for for being woke today.
Thank you for the call. Those are great questions.
All right,
thank you now.
Bye-bye. If you have a question or comment, ask the councilman, District 19, Freddie O'Connell, just reelected back to 19. And then 19 is where we're sitting now on the historic
campus.
The
home of WFSK on historic Fisk University.
Hey.
Y'all go hit WFSKFM.org and get a donation right in there.
That's right. Now, see, you've been around us. You know the story. We had to sing for our supper. And the downtown area is also in your district. Mm-hmm. Now, where's the line at? Is it here on?
It is literally right here at D.B. Todd Boulevard.
Okay.
And so it takes you... So. D.B. Todd and Jefferson will really, the interstate, take you in and kind of around that loop up through Germantown, Historic Buena Vista, over to the river. Now, the river will take you all the way out through Napier and Suticum, all the way out to almost Spence Lane, out on that southeast portion of the district. Then you come back in, Murfreesboro and Lafayette, and basically come into the Gulch and dip down into Edge Hill.
So you're Gulch, too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the pastor said on Sunday, he was listening to Rev Turner.
I sure was.
He said, Edge Hill.
That's right.
Trying to change our name of our community. Edge Hill.
We've had some tough conversations where there have been, I'll tell you, because I love Edge Hill. That's where I learned to play piano when I was a kid, over at W.O. Smith, which is an amazing place to learn music.
Yes.
And They do not take kindly to people coming up in there doing projects where they will call it like Gulch South.
Right,
or something.
Right. And I don't blame them.
I don't blame them at all.
Yeah. I mean, it's just how it is. So we can do revisionist history on our whole town. Come on, y'all. Really? Anyway, questions or comments, 615-329-8810. Let's take a time out and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
On the next Jazz Night in America, we're in the city of brotherly love for guitarist Nels Klein and Lovers.
I wanted to be kind of dark and perverse and this other side of the mood music record that was more realistic, twisted, just, I wanted it to be sweet, and I also wanted it to have dark wrinkles and dark corners.
And the premiere of some new tunes for the project by Philly composers. That's on the next Jazz Night in America. I'm Christian McBride. Catch Jazz Night in America every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. and Wednesdays from 6 to 7 p.m. here at listener-supported Jazzy 88.
Support for WFSK comes from Nashville General Hospital at Meharry, reminding you that October is National Breast Cancer Awareness Month. It has been proven that African American and Hispanic women have a higher breast cancer death rate than women of other racial or ethnic populations because they are statistically less likely to participate in mammography screenings and more likely to be diagnosed with late-stage breast cancer. If you are over 40 and have had a screening mammogram, call the Breast Health Center at Nashville General Hospital today, 615-341-4543.
Good afternoon. As we keep updated with traffic, it's heavy out here on the South Loop, the West Loop. Jefferson Street there at 14th on a crash, Lebanon Pike at Briley Parkway. Right there at the intersection there in Donaldson, they're still working that wreck. Out in West Nashville, a two-car fender bender, 5600 block of Charlotte Pike. This traffic report brought to you by Prince's Hot Chicken. Prince's Hot Chicken, 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Many thanks to our listeners who've already made tax-deductible donations this month during WFSK's Fall Fun Drive. It helps keep the music playing at Jazzy 88 and defray the cost of operating the station. Show your support for WFSK this month by mailing your check to 1000 17th Avenue North, Nashville 37208. Or use your debit or credit card by calling us at 615-329-8754. That's 615-329-8754 or online at WFSKFM.org.
Support for WFSK comes from Born Again Church. Ladies, discover your divine rhythm, fashioned in His image, presents A Woman's Heart, The Awakening Women's Gathering, Wednesday, November 6th through Sunday, November 10th. Awaken to a week that will include a creative workshop experience and conversations on matters of the heart. Learn who you are, how to connect with other women, sister to sister, living in freedom, and the importance of self-care. Registration is $50. Fashioned in His image, A Woman's Heart, The Awakening Gathering at Born Again Church, November 6th through the 10th. Register now at fihi.net or eventbrite.com. That's fihi.net or eventbrite.com. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All righty, Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. And this hour, I am having Councilman Freddie O'Connell in. District 19, which is over here where we are now, and for Ask the Councilman segment on the show, if you have a question or comment for the 19th District Councilman, please feel free to call 615-329-8810. Now, Councilman O'Connell, do you see that, you know, we can, with our own eyes, as we drive through the Germantown, Salem Town area, it looks like a whole nother place.
Not it sure
even
does.
Nashville. How has that changed for what the issues of concern in that area? Because I know that, you know, you're bringing different clientele in, and, you know, the economy being what it is, and family pressures, et cetera. So what's the story?
So it's very interesting. We've been over there 12 years. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Nashville, but we moved over there when Whitney got into Meharry because mm-hmm. we wanted to be close to campus. And that worked out really wonderfully for us. For the first couple of years before she had to start doing away rotation, she was taking the bus or riding her bike or walking to campus, which was great because we were first, when we bought our house, we were a zero-car household. Then we were a one-car household.
Yeah.
Now we got kids and we're up to two cars.
Definitely.
But, you know, it was interesting because you saw the recession and there was about 5 years where not a lot happened, right? Uh-huh. There wasn't that much change.
Mm-hmm.
And then roughly around 2013, you started to see that the water faucet turned back on, but it turned back on full blast.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like we skipped a step.
Yes.
Both in terms of price, but just in terms of the, you know, the amount of growth and redevelopment we saw. Now, some of it, I think, is actually really good in the sense that we've had vacant lots. I mean, you know, I've been there long enough where some of our vacant lots, we've found a gun that was tossed after a crime. We have found one overgrown lot had a bunch of stolen materials, you know, that had just been parked there because the grass was so tall they could be.
Wow.
We had one vacant lot where a dead body was discovered.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, those vacant lots don't really do the community any good, and I'm perfectly content for a vacant lot to have a house put on it, right?
Sure.
Because then you get, ideally, a new neighbor.
Yeah.
Now, one of the other things that's strange, though, to me, or maybe surprising, it's a better word, when I was visiting with voters in the summer of 2015, I didn't hear a single word about short-term rentals, about Airbnb, right, that whole phenomenon.
Mm.
A year later, people started to realize they were losing their neighbors because people were buying these homes and turning them into hotels, just outright hotels, not even living there at all.
Wow.
And they'd pack 20 people into these homes. And so it started to be a real quality of life issue in two regards. One, these places would be empty Monday to Thursday.
Sure.
And then they'd fill up for the weekend. But when they'd fill up, they'd be 20 bachelorettes looking to go to Lower Broadway and coming back and being raucous at 3 a.m.
Right.
I mean, we've lost multiple families with young kids who lived right next door to one of these things.
Mm.
And even this summer, when I was talking to voters out throughout the district, I stood on the front porch of some of my neighbors in Salemtown, and they stood there with me and said, there's a short-term rental, there's a short-term rental, there's a short-term rental.
Wow.
And they were like, these used to be our neighbors, and they used to wave, and they used to be people who were good to us.
Right.
And now some of them might be nice, but plenty of them don't. I mean, this isn't what they're
here
to do.
So this hasn't been a good thing for Nashville.
I would say we kind of overdid it. And I think if you look at the election as a whole, you could say Nashville overdid it, right? We kind of let some of this stuff get away from us.
Yes.
And I think that's, for me, one of the priorities of the term, which I've heard from folks throughout the district, is we've got to remember that Nashville has to be for Nashvillians.
Right.
And that means a lot of focus on quality of life.
Right.
Because that's some of what we lost.
And, you know, and big money is not the king and the ruler. And the people, the citizens, should be the ones. Because big money has ruled Nashville like crazy and has been allowed to turn these properties into what they have been turned into in neighborhoods, etc. It's not little money that did that. It was big money.
Right. And sometimes, I mean, that's the tough part, because even among people that are in there doing the development, I mean, you can tell the scale. You can walk it down. There are some people that will come in and maybe build or rehabilitate one house. Now, Salemtown and Germantown are both interesting neighborhoods because we have, in Salemtown, the core of the neighborhood is protected against outright demolition because we did a neighborhood conservation zoning overlay a few years back. We're actually right in 2013, right before the heat really turned up.
Mm-hmm.
Germantown, a few years before that, put in place a historic preservation zoning overlay, and it's larger than ours. And so that's why I think for a long time you will see at least the core of those two neighborhoods in particular have that very traditional seeming residential neighborhood feel that is single family in nature.
Yeah.
Now, we had a conversation earlier this year in Historic Buena Vista, which is actually listed on the National Register for Historic Districts.
Is it?
But I think the tough part about that conversation is when we looked at did they want to do something like that, it was kind of too late. One of our toughest conversations in Edge Hill last year was actually that, because you had some people whose attitude was, we want to go ahead and cash in.
Right.
But you had plenty of other people who said, we don't want to be an extension of the Gulch. Right. We want to preserve this
right.
amazing, one of the oldest African-American neighborhoods yes. in the city. And we want to hang on to not only that in today, like in culture of what it means for now, like we sure. want to, we want to maintain that culture, but we also want to keep some of that built environment intact that says how this culture got here.
Excellent.
So, you know.
And so what are you doing to help that?
Well, we did that overlay in Edgehill. I think that was critically important. I think one of the things that I also do as an approach that is not required, but I think is generally good practice is you don't go through the planning process in District 19 right now
sure.
without having a meeting with the community.
There you
right?
go.
So that alone has meant that developers have had affordability on the table. Mm-hmm. They have had the idea of community benefit on the
yeah.
table.
Yeah.
And they have had just generally the sense of, hey, I'm building for the long term. Let's think about what is in the right. community's interest for the long
right.
term.
Well, let's hope that they keep thinking like that so we can feel that Nashville is not just for everybody that comes in from out of town. They can buy a T-shirt and a souvenir and go on home.
But
we still got to live here.
Let me say this, too. Our tools are somewhat limited, right? Mm. I can't just tell a developer as a condition of your doing this project, you must do this. You have to have some affordability in here. Because that's, yeah. I think when you ask kind of what are the challenges of that growth, that's the other big piece of it. I couldn't afford my house right now.
Yeah.
Right. If I were trying to buy today what I bought 12 years ago.
Truly.
Right. There's no way I could
yeah,
do it right
truly.
Now. And we've seen a lot of that throughout this part. And some of that is just people want to live closer to downtown now in a way that was not always true in Nashville.
Sure.
Right. Some of that is downtown has changed. There are more people living in actual downtown than we had when I was growing up.
It's not.
It's a joke, but it's true. There are more dogs living in downtown right
it.
Now today than there were 20 people 20 years ago.
And bicycle riders.
Well, that's true, too.
And strollers.
Yeah. Well, we have kids. I was amazed. Yeah. About 4 or 5 years ago, I went on a downtown home tour. And the number of places that I saw where people had these amazing living spaces with kids in them, I was yeah. just, it opened yeah. my eyes to a yeah. new thing. Because that's again, something that
yeah.
was new to
it Nashville. It has definitely changed. And everybody who is born and raised or came up here in some years.
But, you know, the state still stands in our way on a lot of this stuff. Because we tried to do something early in the last term
yeah.
called inclusionary zoning that said, yes, if you voluntarily seek entitlements greater than what you have right now, basically, if you're going to go ask the planning commission to allow you to build more than what you could build when you walked in the door,
yeah.
we're going to say, okay, you can do that if you do a small percentage affordable. Well, the state stepped in after we passed that and said, nope, that's illegal. Y'all can't do that.
That overreach is about to make me sick, okay? It's about to make me sick. I talk about it all the
time.
It is
the single biggest factor in things that I hear that my constituents want me to go do. I mean, we've been talking to Jay about some of the criminal justice and policing issues earlier this term, too. We tried to do we took the smallest baby step because,
right.
you know, Nashville is like many other parts of the country. We have participated in unfortunate ways in mass incarceration.
Yes.
And we tried to take this small baby step toward decriminalization of simple possession of very small
and
amounts
they overreach
of marijuana.
Happened
and
again.
And
they
hit us on that and said, even that baby step y'all took, we're
right.
going to make you that illegal.
And that's the problem that and I can guarantee you, I'm going to keep talking about it. I want you all to stay on that one because I get so
you can trust
tired
me that I am on that one
of that overreach because those people up there, Rogersville and Madisonville and all those.
Just let Nashville be Nashville. That's
yeah,
all I'm asking
yeah.
for. We don't try
that,
to say
yeah.
y'all
Union
have
City,
to do like
right,
we do,
right.
but just let us do the way that our folks want to do.
Mind your own city's business and stay out of Davidson County's. Just because you're situated in downtown doesn't make you a Nashvillian. Councilman, this is a Zoom time, you know.
I tell you. And look, I got the word right here on my phone that that Whitney was able to get over to Haley. So I've got 5 minutes if you want
you
me to
got
stick
five.
Around.
I got, all right.
So
see,
we can
rescue.
Do one more quick segment
okay,
if you want.
Okay, good.
To.
Wipe me to the rescue, man.
There you go.
Because I was watching the clock saying, oh, Lord, oh, Lord. I didn't want you to be late. But anyway, I want to go back to what you were just saying, because that has always been the challenge for this district. No matter who was over here, that would come up in discussion year after year after year. And
you saw a little bit of it on community oversight.
I did.
Now, the reason that survived and we got most of what we were trying to do is because Knoxville has been doing community oversight for 20 years. And they realized if they were going to stick it to us, they'd be sticking it to Knoxville, too. And Knoxville said no.
Okay.
You know, and so we got some help from across the state on that one.
Well, might that be your strategy for the future?
We've done that to some extent, where it's clear that if they take a swing at Nashville, they're going to be taking a swing at something in their own backyard.
Okay.
Sometimes it is just simply the case that urban issues and rural issues are very distinct, though.
Definitely.
You know, but that remains a challenge for us.
And I think it's always going to. So, you know, strategies. You're just going to have to hit them, fight fire with fire. I mean, there's no other way to do it. I mean, you know, it's no other way.
Well, some of it is relationships. I think some of it is having that conversation about let's have a common sense approach to this. I'm not coming out to Sevier County to tell y'all that you need to do things the way Davidson County does. Mm-hmm. So let's make that a mutual process. Right?
Well, what if you guys did? I just got the big bus and said, let's go out there. Well, I mean, you know, I know I'm radical. I know. I recognize that. I know. I know.
All I'm looking to try to do is do what my voters, you know, what they're,
know
what
hard,
they're saying
but
is
they,
important to them.
It takes longer for you to get the message out that this was blocking you. Okay,
well, so for instance, you talk about all that growth that's been going on. One of the things we've been exploring is this concept of impact fees, right? Mm-hmm. In many other cities, in fact, even in some other places in Tennessee, right, mm-hmm. right to our south in Williamson County, they do this. You basically make sure that the cost of that new development, because it comes with cost. When I put two houses where there was one mm-hmm. before, when I build a new 40-story building on what was a vacant lot before,
right.
that means there's got to be water
roads,
and sewer,
yeah.
stormwater,
yeah.
sidewalks, all this
yeah.
stuff. Well, even when you get those property taxes, even when you get those ratepayers paying those water bills,
yes.
that does not cover the cost of those giant
nope.
new pipes.
Does
that does not cover the cost of resurfacing
no.
and rebuilding all those sidewalks and all that stuff.
Does not.
And that's what impact fees do.
And they have it where?
They have it in Williamson County.
Well.
But we can't get it here
well,
because of the County Powers Act at the state.
Well, the governor's from there, right? Now, Sharon K, you stop it right now, girl. Just conjure it up. Well, I was just
well,
asking
I mean,
the
you,
question. The,
this is the 411 after all.
I mean, it just seems that if that's the way it's going to be, then, you know, when you're in that court.
Well,
in that
and
game.
So I bring up that impact fees piece, but, you know, your listeners.
That makes sense.
Your listeners do need to know, though. One of the very first things we're going to be dealing with this term, and Mayor Cooper has already brought it to our attention, and there's a council committee meeting coming up to look at it. Water and sewer rates are very likely to be
yes,
going up.
Yes, we know.
Right? So if y'all talked about that some on the show already?
No, but I get the letters and I get my mail and I'm a homeowner, honey. I know everything. It's
so,
like, Lord, help me, Jesus. Okay?
Right, because we added the stormwater fee back a few years
yes.
ago before I took office.
Yes.
And then this is going to be the first time that this group has dealt with one
yes.
of these infrastructure-related things. But they can't. Metro Water right now can't keep up.
And I can imagine with all the condos and the buildings and et cetera. I get it. I do. But I will, yes, when I have him over, I'm giving Mayor Cooper time.
Oh, good.
To
okay.
get used to his chair and his office and everything.
And you know? then you'll get him used to his chair over here on this side of the mic.
Well, you know, I didn't want him to think I was, you know, moving too fast, but I want him to know his staff first.
No, that's good. And yeah. but that is an infrastructure thing. It will be something that we are very likely to ask Nashvillians to chip in and pay for right now because we don't have those impact fees. And
well, he's getting hit with a ton right now.
This is a tough moment.
Yeah, it is.
This would have been tough for anybody.
He promised that he was going to do X, Y, and Z and said he on here, I'm going to roll the calculator on a lot of things.
Yeah.
Now, you know some folks are going to be unhappy. So he's, you know, he might need the breastplate, the protection.
Well,
because some people are going to be unhappy when those budgets change and shift.
And when and I will be interested to see what his calculator shows, because over the past couple of years in council, it has become much more apparent as we have looked. And I say this as a public school parent.
Sure.
We know that we're not paying our teachers enough.
Right.
We know that multiple departments have been told not just, and this is the crazy part. This is when we are growing,
right,
when we are experiencing prosperity, and Metro feels as if it is experiencing austerity.
Right.
And that doesn't add up.
It does not. That's why a lot of people were like, okay, let's see what you got. So we'll be having him here soon.
Great.
Councilman, this was the time that just flew by, man. It
flew
just
by.
Flew.
It flew by.
Well, you know, it's always good to have you here.
Anytime I'll come. You know, just let me know.
Well, we'll see you at Christmas time.
I'll be back in just a few weeks.
You got you some new Christmas britches?
Oh, you know, you might see my old ones. We'll see. We'll see what I can come
okay.
up with.
Okay. It's a sight for sore eyes.
Well, we'll be happy to be a part of the choir and join you for that.
Oh, my God.
But anytime you want me to come talk serious stuff, just let me know.
I will.
Thanks
Thank
for having
you
me
so
on.
Thank you so much. Give your family
evening.
My best.
I will. I'm going to go see them right now.
All right, Nashville, that's all we have for you. A-L-L. You all have the very best of the best. And don't forget... Who loves you?
You've been listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station and its management.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.